From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. A reminder as well that you can write to me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, on Friday's broadcast, I concluded my commentary on fasting. The words of our Lord in this regard are powerful. And I hope you'll go back to those words, perhaps imprint them on your mind. For Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. And then says Jesus, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your heavenly Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees then what you're doing in secret will reward you. As I mentioned last week, wherever fasting takes you, maybe even toward a 40-day mountaintop experience, it's crucial to remain mindful for the purposes of fasting. And I mentioned four that are memorable: forgiveness, almsgiving, supplication, and transformation. Of course, those four form the word fast: forgiveness, almsgiving, supplication, transformation. Forgiveness, again, is an idea that Jesus Christ forwards right after he gives us the prayer of Jesus, or the Lord's Prayer. And the idea here by our Lord is that as we fast, we are to continually seek forgiveness from sin. If we confess our sins, our Lord is faithful, he's just, he will forgive our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then almsgiving. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, said Jesus, you did it unto me. Again, in fasting, we intuitively consider the needs of others and our responsibility to those who are poor and downtrodden. Supplication. Just like almsgiving is inextricably woven together with fasting, so too are our prayers and supplications. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. And then finally, transformation. We fast so that we might be transfigured. Transfigured in the manner of Peter, James, and John. As St. Basil so wonderfully exhorted, anoint your head with a holy oil so that you may be a partaker of Christ, and then go forth to fast. Appetites pleasure the body. Abstinence gives wings to the spirit. so that we may ascend to the Mount of Transfiguration and there discover communion with God as the very apex of life. Living disciplines such as almsgiving or mercy-giving, prayer and fasting, characterize the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so too, they must characterize your life and my life. Every year, millions of people make confessions of faith, but there's always a problem. Their habits of life are appreciably the same after conversion as they were before conversion. Why is that? Well, it's because of the accumulated deposits of life. These deposits of life experiences that remain entrenched in their embodied selves. They have the desire to do what is good, but they can't carry it out. Peter vowed never to forsake his Lord. And yet when a young woman wondered whether he followed Caesar or was a follower of Christ, he renounced the master with vile oaths. He swore he had no personal knowledge of the very one he had previously announced as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Preservation of life and limb overwhelmed his better intentions. And this is the same problem we face in the cauldron of adversity. We may have correct inner belief, yet lacking a full measure of the authentic Christian life, we stumble in the moment of truth. How different our Lord. When the Pharisees and teachers of the law threatened to undo him, he exhibited an otherworldly calm, a peace in the midst of the storm. Such peace is accessible to you and I as well. My peace I give you, said our Lord, not the kind of peace that the world gives, but a peace that is transcendent. The words of our Lord highlight a glorious truth. The peace manifested by Jesus may be actualized in our own lives, not by asking what Jesus would do in this or that circumstance, but by doing what Jesus did throughout the entirety of our lives. We are to emulate him. And that is the role of spiritual or living disciplines. Force of will is entirely insufficient, in fact, impotent in dealing with the deeply ingrained tendencies embedded in the embodied self. Jesus said to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Supposing we can transform ourselves from carnality to Christlikeness, and do that through the force of our own will, is delusional. Willpower alone is insufficient to eradicate the layers of sin embedded in our embodied selves. Living disciplines, however, can do what force of will cannot do. They are the means through which we may sow to the Spirit instead of sowing to the sinful nature. St. Paul, he took pains to explain that sowing to the sinful nature reaps ever-escalating corruption. Sowing to the Spirit, however, produces life and life that is life to the full. This is the way it is with spiritual disciplines. The disciplines that I talked about, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting, they are a way of sowing to the Spirit. The disciplines are God's way of getting us into the ground. They put us where he can work within us, and through that work can transform us. By themselves, the spiritual disciplines could do nothing. They can only get us to the place where something can be done. They are God's means of grace. When we get back from the break, I want to continue with this magnificent Sermon on the Mount as we turn to what Jesus says about laying treasures up in heaven rather than laying up treasures on earth. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, said Jesus, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. We'll be right back with that as we continue this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Hank will be back after this.
We are divided. Both the left and the right are calling for revolution. But what kind of revolution brings freedom to society and the soul? Oz Guinness explores the nature of revolutionary faith, contrasting secular revolutions such as the French Revolution with the faith-led revolution of ancient Israel. Guinness argues that the story of Exodus displays the highest, richest, and deepest vision for freedom in human history, and the greatest sustained critique of the abuse of power. The Exodus account charts a viable path to justice, peace, stability, and the common good of the community. To receive your copy of The Magna Carta of Humanity, Sinai's Revolutionary Faith in the Future of Freedom by Oz Guinness, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks, Randy. I do want to remind everyone, if you don't know about this, you may be hearing it for the first time. If you do know about it, it's a reminder, and that is our Bible Answer Man YouTube channel. We're constantly putting videos up on that channel, including a video version of what I'm doing in the studio today. So go to the Bible Answer Man YouTube channel. Also, you can find our podcasts, Hank Unplugged podcasts, wherever podcasts are heard, including at equip.org. Just before we went to break, I was talking about the precious treasure chest of words that our Lord enunciated in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Where he says, "Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but rather store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, Christ's message in the Sermon on the Mount is so crystal clear, it hardly needs any elaboration. What he's talking about is that we ought to fixate not on earthly vanities, but rather we ought to instead focus on eternal verities. And so he warns his followers, and vicariously us, not to store up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Instead, said Jesus, store up treasures in heaven. Why? Because there are no moths, there is no rust, and there are no thieves. And therefore, our treasure is secure. To treasure treasure, at least the treasure that is temporary treasure, is insanity. Because to treasure that which is subject to destructive forces, to moths and rust and thieves, is to treasure that which is temporary rather than to treasure that which is eternal. Clothes and food and money are transient. Conversely, the kingdom of God and his righteousness constitute eternal treasure. Thus, the heart that is fixated on eternity will never lose that which it treasures. It may well be said that the heart of discipleship lies in disengaging ourselves from earthly vanities and attaching ourselves to eternal verities. That's the heart of discipleship. There's a passage in a book that I did forward to. It's a series of sermons by St. John Chrysostom. The book is titled On Wealth and Poverty. This book, if you don't have it, you ought to get it and read it. It is fabulous. Again, On Wealth and Poverty, St. John Chrysostom, forward by Hank Hanegraaff. In this book, St. John Chrysostom says, "For the righteous, both the life hereafter and this life provide great pleasure. But the wicked and greedy are punished both here and hereafter. They are punished even here by the expectation of the retribution thereafter, and by the evil suspicion of everyone, and by the very fact of sinning and corrupting their very own souls. After their departure from here, they endure unbearable retribution. In contrast, even if the righteous may suffer a multitude of trouble here, they are nurtured and nourished by good hopes, and have a pleasure that is pure, secure, and permanent. And hereafter, the multitude of good things will welcome them just like they welcomed Lazarus. Of course, he's talking about Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. St. John goes on to say, "Do not tell me that he was afflicted with sores," talking about the poor man, Lazarus, "but consider that he had a soul inside more precious than gold, or rather, not his soul only, but also his body. For the virtue of the body is not plumpness, it's not vigor, but the ability to bear so many severe trials. A person is not loathsome if he has this kind of wounds on his body, but if he has a multitude of sores in his soul and doesn't take care of them. And such was the rich man, full of sores within. Just as the dogs licked the sores of the poor man, so demons licked the sins of the rich man. And just as the poor man lived in starvation of nourishment, so the rich man lived in starvation of every kind of virtue. So let us not call fortunate the wealthy, but rather let us call fortunate the virtuous. Let us call miserable not the poor, but the wicked. Let us not regard what is present, but regard what is to come. Let us examine not the outer garments, but the conscience of the person. Let us pursue the virtue and joy that come from righteous actions. And let us both, rich and poor, emulate Lazarus." You may want to take some time to turn to Luke chapter 16 and read this story by our Lord. I've said over the years, this is the most powerful story in Scripture that I come back to again and again to put things back into balance. Well, Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 24, by saying, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" The mind, or the nous in Greek, is the spiritual eye of the soul. It illuminates the inner man. It governs all that we say and do. And as such, the spiritual eye must remain pure and undivided, healthy. Healthy in its view toward food, money, and valuables. For if the eye is inflamed by sin, well, then the light of eternity goes dim. And then the baubles of this world that sparkle and entice us cause the eye itself to sparkle inordinately. When the very organ that ought to furnish light instead manifests only darkness, a darkness that brings forth slavery rather than spiritual emancipation, then we are in trouble. And the reason we're in trouble is because no one can serve two masters. As Jesus put it, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. As Jesus makes plain, any attempt to maintain an attachment to both earthly vanities and eternal verities is sheer foolishness. And that is because, as Jesus makes plain, it is impossible to serve both Messiah and money simultaneously. This ought to be a self-evident truth that requires no further elucidation. Well, on the next Bible Answer Man broadcast, we're going to talk about worry, because this is the next thing our Lord brings up in the Sermon on the Mount. And as we conclude this edition, this Monday edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I want to thank all of you once again for standing shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. Remember, in doing so, you're laying up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
We are divided, both the left and the right are calling for revolution. But what kind of revolution brings freedom to society and the soul? Oz Guinness explores the nature of revolutionary faith, contrasting secular revolutions such as the French Revolution with the faith-led revolution of ancient Israel. Guinness argues that the story of Exodus displays the highest, richest, and deepest vision for freedom in human history, and the greatest sustained critique of the abuse of power. The Exodus account charts a viable path to justice, peace, stability, and the common good of the community. To receive your copy of The Magna Carta of Humanity, Sinai's Revolutionary Faith in the Future of Freedom by Oz Guinness, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.